So I think that social media in 2023, we're going to see a drastic shift from the way that people used to use social media for their business.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Market Vibe podcast. We are alive.
We're wild.
I said we're alive.
We're wild.
Anyway, it's been a hot minute, but it's 2023 and we are back at it podcasting. The podcast.
And this time we're actually going to be consistent, unlike August when we said we were going to be consistent and did one episode and then realized that we're very
consistent at being inconsistent.
Everybody who's listening, thank you. Bless your soul for sticking with us. We love you.
I know. Freaking wild. But yeah, we figured we'd bring it back and fiercer than ever. And we're going to... Michael just gave me some dance moves right now.
Well, you said fiercer than ever, so I was like...
So he busts up Beyonce. But yeah, we're excited. We're really going to go hard on just like giving you guys the tools that you need for business in 2023 and beyond.
With a little bit of Michael and Jill Flair, like only we can do.
Obviously.
So we've been noticing some things. We always like to teach really what we're doing personally in our own business, as well as what we're working on our clients with. And towards the last half of 2022 and into 2023, we've really developed and honed in a system that I think is working really, really well with not just our business, but business owners that we're working with. And we've seen people scaling over $1 million, you know, doubling their revenue and things like that. And so we really want to share, you know, what we're doing, what we're teaching people, and hopefully this helps you. This is going to be a three-part series because we could make one really long podcast, but I feel like if it's an hour and a half or something like that, stuff might get lost in the shuffle. So we're just going to take this as a three-part series. So this is going to be part one, where we talk about, how we're, creating a social media strategy and what we're doing on social media. And that'll be part one.
Yes, exactly. So shall we dive into...
I think we shall.
Part one. And from what I'm seeing from our show notes, which you'll be able to see too, market research, yes?
Yes.
Is number one. So if any of you knows what the market research phase is, I know it's an industry term a lot of people throw around, but they don't really know. Basically, it's you just doing some research on your ideal client, who they are, what they like, what they do, what are their tendencies, how old they are, where they live, getting to know exactly who they are and what they would want from you.
Yeah, I think too, this is a part a lot of people skip because if I'm going to be honest, I'm a very type A person and I love numbers and things like that, but I think this part sucks. And I really, like, for, you know, lack of a better term, like, I didn't enjoy doing this part, but I think that when we did this at the beginning, I think it really helped us figure out, like, how to hit the ground running, rather than what I see a lot of business owners do is they either just don't do market research at all and they just try and like create content based on what they think will work, or they like do it half in, half out, and then wonder why they're not getting the optimum type of results that they probably could be getting had they have done all that work, you know, upfront.
Yeah. And I think market research too, I actually personally like market research. So I'm usually the one like in that process who will do that for clients, because I like to see also what the competition is doing. You know, what are they doing? What's resonating and what's working? And then you can kind of get ideas from there, but to put in your own voice and your own content, your own value. And so I actually really like doing market research for that reason, because then I can see like what other people are doing and then what people are actually liking.
You guys, this is why being married is awesome, because then all the things that I hate, Jill loves, and all the things that Jill hates, I love. This is why opposites attracting is so great. And so, yeah, I think when it comes to competitor research too, I don't like using the term competitor, because I really don't think like you have quote, like I don't think that when you look at someone who does like the relatively same thing that you do, it's like your quote unquote competition. That's just kind of become like the industry term. But I think, you know, we're so quick to say, oh, like I'm reading books from successful people or I study successful people, but then we won't apply that to our own business and study, you know, our quote unquote competitors who are succeeding and just learn from them. We'll like look at our competitors as like their competition. And so for some reason, like we can't learn from them or we don't want to. And it's not stealing ideas. It's just, you know, learning what they're doing that's working on social media, what platforms they're on, to give you some sort of idea of where to start. Or if you're, you know, a existing business owner and you feel like on social media, you're in sort of a rut, like you're not getting the engagement, the following, things like that. Like it never hurts to go over to your, you know, competition, I guess I'll just keep calling it, and like see what successful people are doing, because I really feel like that's how you narrow the learning curve and you end up succeeding a lot quicker than if you just try and do it on your own.
I guess you could say, you could call them like colleagues in your industry, like if you wanted to not say competition. But yeah, no, it's important, because when you can see what they've done, they've almost done the work for you. They've already paved the way and they know what's working. So then you can kind of use that to your advantage and, you know, duplicate in your own style, in your own content, in your own way, things like that. So
yeah, I think that's the foundation, honestly, is the research aspect, because the more research you do, the better off you are long term. The less research you do, the more that down the road, I feel like you're just going to have to end up going back to like the start. And you always want to be moving forward. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards, and you never want to be moving backwards. So I feel like, you know, just do it now. I always think a new year too, if you're an existing business, is like a really good time to just, hey, is like, you know, are there things I can be doing better in, you know, in my business, and studying, you know, your colleagues and things like that, and people that are doing it, you know, really, really well, because, you know, then that sets you up with momentum for the rest of the year when you notice things like that. You guys know us and you know how big we are on social media optimization. If your social media is not optimized for your business, it's going to be very hard for your ideal client to find out about you and what you do. That's why we created a 10-step checklist for every social media platform that we're on: Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TikTok. So if you want to pick up that 10-step checklist for each social media platform to make sure that your social media platforms are optimized for 2023, click the show notes below, grab that free download, and optimize your social media today.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that way you're not playing catch up and trying to tweak along the way. You've already figured out what works, and you can get going. Would you like to move us on to number two?
Yeah, so number two, I mean, after you've done your market research, you really want to hone in on your content pillars. And I know, like, a lot of people talk about what their content pillars are, but I think that, like, you really need to understand what people want to hear about from you, because I feel like a lot of business owners either don't have enough content pillars, or they have way too many, or they're just throwing darts at a dartboard hoping that the content that they put out resonates. None of those are good. I think really that's where the market research comes in handy, because then you start to see, and I love looking in the comments, because, you know, you look in your colleagues' comments, like we were talking about, you look in your comments, like, people, I really resonated with this. They ask a follow-up question, things like that show you that this is the type of content that people are wanting. You know, if you hear crickets, chances are good that that's not really something your community is looking for. And so I think that really honing in on your content pillars, doing that research and things like that will really help you narrow down what types of content you should be creating for your audience.
And if you don't know where to start, start with your expertise and the problems you solve. That's a great place to solve or to start, excuse me. And it's a great place for you to really add value, just teach people and give back. And also, another thing that people mess up is they go into selling constantly. Like, social media, we've always been in this stance, is not a place to be selling constantly. People aren't going on Instagram being like, what am I going to be sold to today? Or what's going to be sold to me today? I'm so excited to see what everybody is selling. No, you want to see what everybody's creating, what everybody's talking about, what everybody's, you know, laughing at. You want to see, you go on there to be entertained, or you go on there to escape. You're not going on there to be sold to. And all of the platforms are reporting people leaving. You know, usership is decreasing like crazy. And I think one of the contributing factors is people are going on there and selling like crazy. And they're like, I don't want to be sold to, like, I'm not even going to go on there. So that, I think that's another thing to keep in mind is, like, yes, you do, you should sell your products when it makes sense, but you don't need to be selling constantly. You don't need to be putting up content that's like, you know, oh, my program's open now, or I'm booking now. Like, they don't care. Like, you need to make them care. And the way you make them care is by giving them some sort of insight that gives them breakthrough, or helping them without charging. And that could be through your free content or making them laugh. It needs to be a breakthrough that is free before they will actually purchase.
Yeah. And I think social media is going to drastically change in 2023, especially the way that business owners use it. I think there's been a heavy emphasis on selling and promoting, and I think that that's really going to have to change, because, you know, if you look at any, you know, social media statistics or analytics done by companies, the content that always does the best is things that either entertain or educate, and the content that always does the worst is stuff when you sell or promote. And if you don't believe me, go look back at your own content and look at the posts where you sell versus when you just add value or entertain. And I think that you'll notice the same type of trend. And so, you know, there's definitely places to sell, and we're going to talk about that in part two or three. But I think really social media is meant to be top of the funnel, where you're bringing in new audience members. And a lot of these people are, you know, being introduced to you for the first time. They've never heard of you. They've never heard of your business before. And so, I mean, imagine if you walked up to someone and met someone for the first time and you immediately said, oh, hi, my name is this. And they said, their name is this. And you tried to sell them something. You know, I just don't think that we think it logically through our heads. I think that we just sort of do it on social media, and we don't think, well, what would this look like if this was real life? Oh, wow, that kind of looks a little cringy. Maybe I shouldn't do that. And then we relay that back to our content. I think that we just, you know, see other people selling and things like that and think, oh, well, that's what we're supposed to do. When in actuality, there's a much better way to do it. And like I just said, you know, we're going to talk about steps two and three, where, you know, what to do after, you know, you bring in social media. But for us, it's always been, like Jill said, about top of the funnel, bringing about brand awareness, you know, providing massive value and just, you know, bringing in as many audience members and, well, for us, business owners as we can, to be able to help them, support them, and educate them with what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then the final step in this whole process is your plan of execution. And if you're not consistent, you're never going to build anything. Like, everything is built on consistency. And I'm sure if you look back just in your business journey now, I'm sure, like, you can see where you were consistent is where you were successful. When you weren't consistent is maybe when you didn't land any clients or you didn't sell any of your product. The same is for social media. You have to be consistent. The apps reward consistency. Obviously, they want you to post as much as possible to get you to stay on the platform as much as possible, but set something and stick to it. And this starts from having an actual social media marketing plan and calendar. And this has really changed our life in business. And then it's been like our ultimate selling factor for clients is like, we'll put together a calendar and we'll put you on it. And the thing is, it's so helpful for you and your team to know what's going on every day of the week, what you're selling, and that it's in conjunction with your marketing calendar. And it just makes everybody's lives so much easier. And when you have everything automated like that, you can focus on the things that are actually important, which is selling your products and services, not what you're going to post on Instagram today. That was a tangent. Go ahead.
No, but I totally agree. Like, when you, and this is all Jill, when, like, a lot of people say, oh, I have a social media like calendar of what I post, but it, like, we'll look at it and it looks like just a random mishmash of content that doesn't mean anything. And just because you have a calendar that says, like, on Monday I'm posting a quote, Tuesday I'm doing a reel, Wednesday I'm posting a carousel, Thursday, and it's just mishmash content, like, that to me is not a social media calendar. That's just you scheduling random stuff. Like, that's throwing mud at the wall to me. What's really a social media marketing calendar is when, hey, I'm posting this type of content on this day that's pointing towards this marketing message, which is meant to achieve this goal, which is eventually meant to sell this product. When everything flows like that, then I really believe you have a social media marketing calendar. And to what Jill said, when we onboard clients and we do this for them, we build the social media marketing calendar into a marketing calendar, like, with their free resources, their email marketing, and everything flows in this nice, easy to understand, like, system. People are just, their jaws drop. They're like, I've never had this type of structure in my business before. And so I think that's where people get it confused a lot of the time, is what I see is they think because they know what they're posting every single day, that that means that they have a good handle on their social media marketing. But again, if you're just posting stuff and just to post stuff, or there's no underlying reason why you're posting it, or you don't have the next step 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 after that with the mind, with the end thought in mind, then you really don't have a social media marketing calendar. You just are posting content. And so I think that that's the big difference. And in 2023, if there's one piece of advice I could give you, would be to streamline that whole process. Again, we'll talk about, you know, steps two and three are going to be a lot about what to do after that. But that's the main problem that I think I see.
Yeah. And I think that people get it confused where your social media is just something that you can throw up or that you do day by day. And oh my gosh, you know, babe, that makes me absolutely crazy.
Yep. It drives you crazy.
Are in the day to day of posting. It's like, bruh, you need to be focusing on what, like, you selling your products and your systems and your team, like working on that, not being like stressing over like, oh, what am I going to post today? Like, that drives me insane. And I think it's okay to be planned in social media. It doesn't, if you want to be spontaneous, do it in Instagram stories. Don't do it anywhere else.
I think if you are someone who is posting on a day-to-day basis and you don't have at least a week's worth of scheduling done, number one, you need to hire somebody to do your social media, because that's a clear red flag to me that you're struggling. Or number two, if you have someone that's doing your social media, you need to let them do their job. You need to let them do what they do best so you can do what you do best, because what you're actually doing is, it sounds like, usually you're micromanaging them. And if you're micromanaging them and they're the wrong person, well, then find the right person. But if you're micromanaging them and you know they're the right person, then let them do their job. Just like you want to be able to remove yourself, because all that time that you're wasting doing stuff like that is time you're not making money. Like, you hired a person for a reason, or, you know, you need to hire a person for a reason. It's so that you can get back to doing what you do best, so that you can see, people always think of the cost, but they never think of the return. Like, oh, I have to spend, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 on my marketing. But they never think about, well, if, you know, my time's worth $500 an hour and I get back 10 hours, that's, you know, X amount of money. So it's like, you have to think about also the ROI on hiring someone or letting someone do their job. Because at the end of the day, like, you just can't keep doing the day to day. You should have a month planned out. And what a month planned out, it doesn't mean that it'll go exactly according to that plan. It means it frees you up. Like Jill said, hey, I'm feeling spontaneous, I'm going to do an Instagram live. Hey, I want to create an extra reel this day, but I don't have to worry because there's already a post going out, so I can create it if I want. But what it also allows you to do is, if there's some sort of social media update, you already have content planned. Well, you can just, you don't have to worry about the content for the rest of the week. You can just hop on, talk about that update as it pertains to your business, and not have to worry about like, oh, I have to like figure out what I'm going to do. And then you start to stress yourself out and things like that.
Well, you know, I know we're kind of wrapping up near the end of the episode, but I think the reason why that a lot of people are like that is because that's their only lead source, is one Instagram platform or one social media platform. And we'll get into this later in part 2 and 3 and why you need to be omnipresent on social media. But, you know, if you're in that day to day, like, this might be a good wake up call for you to like plan a week ahead or work with somebody who can help you streamline that process so that you're maximizing your time and you're spending it more. What's that saying? You say you should spend like 80% of the time on the 20% that's going to make you money. What it, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. You should spend like the 80%, you should spend 80% of your time on the top 20% of tasks that make you money.
Yes.
So that Pareto principle, if you're ever wondering, just use the Pareto principle in your life. Like, 20% of the tasks that you do make 80% of the money. Like, you should be focusing on those 20%, but too often people get busy with like the busy work, the 80%. And then they wonder like, why am I not making any money? Like, why? And then they try and force it on things like social media because I'm not making money. Well, I got, maybe if I sell more on social media, when they don't really have what I believe is what we talked about earlier, which is like a streamlined system of, hey, my social media content is going to do this, and then it's going to flow into here, and then I've got this to offer people and this. And so then it's that when you have a full fledged system like that, that runs like a well-oiled machine, it like relieves the pressure you feel from social media to be making money. Because yeah, social media, if you're a business, you'll make money from social media, but it shouldn't be your goal to make money off social media. It should be a byproduct of you just offering great value, building a community, building trust. Like, you should be making your majority of the money elsewhere. And we'll share some statistics in, you know, episode 2 and 3 that really talk about how much more money you make on places like Facebook groups and email marketing and things like that compared to social media, because it's astronomically more. And the reason is because, like Jill talked about earlier, people don't want to be sold to on social media. That's not what it's initially was created for. It's not what it's meant for. It's just a byproduct of you offering, like I said, that great value and that community for people to come to.
Mm-hmm. Preach. You know, all the social media managers who are listening to us are like, yes, for
especially
real.
When we were like, let them do their job. They were just like,
any service provider feels that. It's like, bro, just let me do my job. Like, you know, if you're going to hire someone, just let them do their job. Like,
yeah. I mean, just like whatever you do, you know, if you're a service-based, especially like when someone hires you, you just want them to trust you. And obviously that trust takes time, but you want them to let you do what you do best so that they can do what they do best. And I mean, that's the whole reason to hire anybody. I mean, if you're just going to have to watch over someone, you might as well just do it yourself at that point. So, but yeah, this was a great episode. I'm really excited for this series because this has been working really, really well for us and our clients. And just to be able to streamline all of this for people and hopefully help them out will be really, really great. Cause that's what we're, why we're here at the end of the day. We give away a ton of content for free. Like, you know, we don't really sell anything on any of our social medias. It's just meant to help, you know, new, but especially existing business owners really streamline their services, their social media, their marketing and things like that to be able to grow a $1 million business.
Word.
Beautiful. So thank you so much for bearing with us. We just had a lot going on the second or the third and fourth quarter of the year.
But we're back. I'm excited. This is one of my favorite things to do with you.
Honestly, the podcast is one of my favorite things to do too. It's just one of those things where I felt like we had a lot of things going on. We were onboarding a lot of clients. We were working with some bigger people, and we moved
two states away
and just, you know, there was a lot going on. We were traveling a lot for like speaking engagements and also weddings and things like that. And so it was one of those things where it was like, hey, we'll just take a step back for now, but like, let's really have some great content when we come back to be able to offer people. And I think that we really, really have that.
Yeah, we're back. So thank you guys so much for listening. As always, if you have any questions or episode requests, please come over contact with us on Instagram. We're at Michael and Jill or The Market Vibe. And we hope to see you there. And we'll see you guys next week. Okay, bye.